Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings. Welcome to our advocacy program for the persecuted church. I'm Tower, and we are glad you joined us tonight. Today is Wednesday, the 10th day of April, 2019. And the readings in the Word this week are found in Leviticus chapter 14, verses 1 through chapter 15, verse 33, 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 3 through 20, and the New Testament portion is Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 80, and also Romans chapter 6, verses 8 through 23. Take time to read these biblically centered articles by The Watchman. We have Politics and the Writer's Complex, Trump Fodder for Thought, 2020 is Coming. Many, like Alex Baldwin, make money provoking people to laugh at President Trump. The contempt is amazing, and yet today 82% of Trump's supporters would vote for him. In addition, he has a rating of 53%. Also, beholding God, greater things than these. Beholding God means there are greater things than these which have been seen. As Philip and Nathanael both encounter the true Son of God, the truth was evident. For the Messiah, Jesus Christ, it would be revealed that he would do greater things than these which had been done. And you can read those on warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. You can listen to Warn Radio worldwide from your PC, Android, Apple device, and many other avenues. Check out the front page of warn-usa.com for the Spreaker embed and links to listen to all the places like iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Blueberry, and many others. And you can also listen to the show on warn-usa.com blog. And tonight on our advocacy program, we feature Police Responsible, Abduction of Malaysian Pastor, Flight of ISIS Fighter into Jesus' Arms, China, Another Christian Church Closed, Progress in Asiya Bibi's Case, India, Challenging Religious Conversion Restrictions. So stay tuned for those and more. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Greetings. Just a minute.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network.
Well, that was the wrong one.
Whoops.
Whoops is right. And I don't see the other one anywhere.
Hmm. So, how are you doing tonight, Watchman?
I'm doing good. I found it now. Hang on.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
We are here on a nice, it's a spring day. It's a wet day. It started out by raining last night, and it rained most of the night, and then it turned to snow, and we've got parts of places closed. You know, that one road closure you told me back there, I didn't realize they had so many accidents up there.
Oh, I know. It's horrible, but it looks like this, it's called Winter Storm Wesley, and it looks like it's all across the United States, and it's down south. It's gonna, they're in danger of fires because of this Winter Storm Wesley, and down, that's the southwest, and down south, southeast, I guess, they're in Oklahoma and all those places, they're in danger of having tornadoes and hailstorms.
I know. It's this spring has really been
wild.
It has. There's no doubt about that. Really, really, really wild. And I'm trying to think here what. Okay. Maybe that'll help a little bit. The volume seems a little bit high, but we've been working with some audio and everything. And well, at any rate, we are here advocating for the persecuted church. And, you know, the thing of it is that you never do reach an end of this. And in our news and our gospel news, some of our quick news stories, I just want to update you a little bit that you can find us over on Spreaker. You can find us on everything that we do is put up on our Warn Radio websites at warn-usa.com. And then I have a separate writer's site at danaglennsmith.com. And that's where we have a lot of the books and other things. We also have an extensive amount of videos on our websites, but also on Vimeo, which has the ability for you to be able to watch these on TV. They have a lot of different uses. Vimeo is really popular. And then, of course, iHeart, iTunes, and there's quite a bit of other things. You can go on over to our main website. Both of them actually have the links on the front page, so just go to our websites and you can find where the rest, you know, a number of other people are carrying it through our Warn Radio network. And we were on Blog Talk for about, it was over 10 years.
Wow, was it that long?
Yeah, because we got our 10-year thing with them. We had decided to do this because of we felt that it was time to find another field to be able to plant. We'd been planning in Blog Talk for a lot of years. And, you know, it's not that we won't go back, you know, but right now our target and our focus is on mobile phones, laptops, and of course, you know, regular computers. But when I covered, and Tower knows this, you know, it was amazing how much news that we got to find out what ISIS was doing. And a lot of that, Tower, came from first-hand reports, as you well
know.
Yeah. And we had a big amount of people, everybody there, almost all of them, a lot of them had smartphones of some kind. And they were able to take a text or a simple video. Almost all of them were able to access the internet at one point or another. And so a lot of this stuff was done over there. There was news reporters, not many. There was one young gal that got killed over in Turkey, right on the border overlooking Kobani. That was a very regrettable death, and you know, there was a lot of talk about the Turks doing this over there at the border because of what she was reporting. But we was actually able to pick up a lot of first-hand reports. There was a lot of reports coming out of various of the of the Kurdish military structure, and a lot of others that were over there that gave out. So we were able to do that, and we found out through the years the amount of people that get online and use their smartphone to listen to things like that. And so we started targeting that as well as a regular avenue. And so we have attempted to make our videos shorter, make our audios, to where you can listen to them on a smartphone, do things like this, an effort to get the Bible out and the Word of God out, and to get the word out on the persecuted church. And so, to say the least, it's a challenge to try to keep everything going. Now, I did get off Facebook some time ago. I mean, a long, long time ago. And then I went back, I think, 9 months later, almost a year maybe. And I put in, pretty much the same password I had, and they still had my stuff. And that was kind of bothered me, because once you get off, you want them to get rid of it.
Yeah. That's right.
And then later on, I never did sign back in again. This has been years ago. And then I decided I would do it again, but from a different approach. And there was a lot of things regarding Facebook and really what people do on it. And we really got off of Facebook. But none of the people that follow us know that we're not on Facebook. None of them. Because of the way I structure the ability to track everything that we do, I went back to check it again, and people were still doing what they were doing when I was there, when I paid attention to it. And I don't do anything. None of our sites update anything on it. It just kind of operates on its own. Both of my websites, I've got a lot of modern stuff on it, and it comes from top companies that we work with. And there's a lot of automation as well involved in it. The whole of the internet's almost like a beast that's alive. I mean, it just consumes information. Google has me rated as a number five guide now.
And, really?
Yeah, and they invited me to go to their campus. I have to apply for it, but you have to become a level five guide in order to even be invited. Huh. And so I made it. And the only reason, this started is because I do use a few things off Google. I don't use any of the AdSense anymore, because I don't want anything to do with that. But by the time everywhere I went, it was asking me questions. So I'd take a picture here and there, and before I knew it, people started watching them, and we've had a lot of people that I forgot how many views it was, but Google's always sending me stuff. And so, that's the way the internet works. The target is to get the Word of God into people and to where they are, in order to get them, motivated enough to read it, to do anything, to be inspired, to do something. This is the way this thing works. And so on the other thing, if you want privacy, then you'd better take the battery out of everything you own, practically.
Because, yeah, that's true.
Huh?
That's true.
Years ago, there was a guy in the UK when this started getting pretty bad, the personal information on the internet. And he deliberately, he lived in the UK, and they have more CTV cameras, than anybody on the earth. I forgot how many thousands they have. And he went without everything, got rid of every contact he had, and he tried to go completely in obscure and not tracked. And of course, he wasn't able to do it. But he did a pretty good job of it. But,
yeah, he did.
And even if you do that, they can track you from satellite. They can track you from, the little spies in the eye spy little devices, that fly around up there.
Yeah.
Obama used one of those to kill an American. He ordered a strike on an American terrorist over there.
Hmm.
Remember that?
No.
They were doing that? Yeah. Well, at any
not
rate.
Not too much.
So that is pretty much when we talk about a mission, what we do. And, of course, if you've been listening to us for any time, you notice we have some new intros. Those are done. Some of those are some of the stuff is done by a number. I pick the voices and work with them to put what I want, and then these are all produced by myself. I take their audio files that they've done. Of course, it's not free, and I put a few of these up, and of course it costs a lot of money if you're going to do it professionally. I mean, just to have a small package is $500.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, so it's, I've had a lot of different audios and graphics, but they're really outdated, and I've been using them, and I haven't had time to do anything, so... At any rate, I spent that time trying to get it and get the things kind of updated. But it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of money to get everything going and to keep everything going and just to get this thing out. And for all of you that, those of you that write us from Warren Radio, it's astounding to me, the people that contact us, which isn't a ton. They normally want to contact me on social feed. But we had one individual that went to our website and contacted us. And if that individual ever listens, I saw your comment. And the sad thing about comments is that number one, it doesn't bother me what people say, not at all. If it's a good comment, thank you. But most of them are pathetic, childish, and. They're things that people don't know. I mean, people will listen to our show, and they'll listen to me teach or preach, and they'll think they know everything about me. You don't know everything about me. You don't know one thing about me except what you see. In order to know what I believe, you need to get online and listen to our, years and years and years. I've got more years of studies online than you have time to listen. If you spent the rest of your lifetime listening, it would be hard for you to listen to everything. And matter of fact, you couldn't. Watch the videos. It would take you a while. We've got over 1,300 videos alone on Vimeo. The one comment you had, of everybody that watches and the people that contact me, nobody said anything about the intro like you did. That was put together, and it wasn't to my liking totally, but I put it up because I didn't have time to do anything else. We had nothing else, so we put it up, and I asked some people what they thought of it. They were fine with it, so we put it up. That by no means is the final on anything that I do is not final. I'm always changing and upgrading as I have time because I happen to do the websites and write the articles. I do my graphics. I keep things going around here. I don't stay still for very long except to write and do the stuff. If you would have truly known who we are, then you would at least taken the time to watch or listen to the show. But it's apparent that the only impact it had on you was your disgust with an intro that you didn't like, rather than the content of the show, which is what you were supposed to be really listening to, which shows me the childishness and the smallness of who you are. That's pathetic. But, you know, you're not alone. A lot of the people I deal with, I even had a young kid when we were on YouTube, and oh, by the way, I did put some more stuff back up on YouTube. It's been off for years and years, but the only thing on there is the advocacy broadcast. I don't put anything else on there. YouTube is a notoriously childish, immature network because run by Google, they cast a lot of people out of there. It's not a major place for me. I don't care what they do, whether they like it or not, because if they ever take it off, I've got other avenues, but because you can't depend on it. But years ago, I had a kid that watched a Halloween thing, and he was disgusted because of the way I had taught it. And he was sending me emails saying that he didn't like it, that he serves Satan. And I told him, I wrote him back and said that he needed the Lord and needed, you know, this is what the truth was. And he wrote me back and he says, well, I'm a Christian and I serve God and I also serve Satan. So I wrote him back an answer, never heard from him again. Well, see, this is today's society, folks. You can't stick your toe in hell and try to put your other foot in heaven.
That's right.
So if you're going to write me from my, take time to go to my website, our website, and send us an email, at least have enough sense and decency to listen to the show rather than just be childish and immature. You didn't even want to make suggestions. You didn't even want to do anything. I'm approached by a lot of people that want our business, and they may find us on Instagram. We have a lot of people wanting to help us on Instagram to grow. But that costs money. We don't have money. Neither Tao or I make any money. I mean, we have some funds that come in, and that, for the most part, uses for the daily needs of the show and a few other things we need to get on this. But other than that, there is no $2,000 a month paycheck, $1,500, $100 a month, that's designated to the Watchman as income. There is none. My income is in the Lord. I have no retirement, and any life insurance I have is because I don't have life insurance, but medical and some of the other stuff is due because of another thing that we have, but it has nothing to do with this. So, you know, if you think after 21 years I'm getting rich, and this has nothing to do with the kid that wrote me, because he only wrote me one sentence, which was, you know, just the way it was. And I thank him for the letter because it prompted me to get it done, which I needed to do, but I didn't have time. So, at any rate, just remember, this is a ministry, and we have been doing this for years and years, and we have been faithful. And we look for people to come on board, to listen, to watch, and be respectful and decent, and share this. And we've got them. We've got friends on Twitter. We got friends all over. We got friends around the world. We have people that help support us. Well, help support the radio. The bottom line of it is that... you know, there's a lot of choices out there, but there's only one choice for me, and that's the Lord. And you can listen to any pastor, any preacher, any watchman, any prophet, anywhere. We've got tons of them. And so you have to just decide where you want to lay your mantle and what you want to do. So that's the news and announcements. Now, we're over in Malaysia. Police responsible for the abduction of a Malaysian pastor. And I've seen another. There's been a number of these articles out there. But his name is, I can't read it, but it's in Malaysia. and he disappeared. And, you know, the police refused to acknowledge the fact that the special branch of this particular country had run off with him, because it reminds me of Hitler's brown shirts and some of the others. In the middle of the night, they would go pick up Jews. We see the same thing in Iran. They go out and they have been persecuting Christians right and left, and they go into their homes, they take them right out of meetings. We see that happening in Pakistan. We see it being happening in India by radical Islam, Hindus that go into the church, the houses, and break them up. But this guy just flat disappeared. And there was an inquiry into this, and the direct and circumstantial evidence in Pastor Raymond Coe's case proves, on a balance of probabilities, that he was abducted by state agents, namely the special branch. This was in Kuala Lumpur. Tower, I don't know. There's more, when I report this, there's more things that are irritating and you can shake a stick at.
Oh, I know, I hear you.
You and I have been raised in this country, and both sides of our families, the roots go back in this country a long, long ways. And having said that, we have never known the time when government special agents would come and break you up for various reasons that weren't legit most of the time.
That's right.
And it's not to say we don't have problems. We had Ruby Ridge and we had Waco. We've had a number of things, especially when Janet Reno was in as Attorney General. But people come and go. And around the world, we are seeing an uptick in these kinds of things.
We are.
Raymond Coe was part of the Evangelical Free Church of Malaysia. Now, the Evangelical Free Church is, I haven't been in one a long time, but Evangelical Free was, at the beginning of this country, we had what was called free churches, and they were free of government interference, and they weren't connected to anything but Christ, and that was it. But at any rate, that particular is what you would call the denomination or main church there. And he was a pastor, and then, boom, he's gone. And we've reported on a lot of these leaders, and to be honest with you, you may think, well, there's always someone else. Well, I got news for you. Satan's trying to kill all the leaders.
Yeah.
And when you take some of these leaders and you just rip them out and throw them in jail, yeah, you know, if they die, they're going to be in heaven. But the church needs him. The people need him.
Yeah, and he was abducted 2 years ago.
Yeah, he's been gone for a long time.
And the police refuse to acknowledge this.
Well, see, nobody really knows where he's at. And that's, and we've seen it. China did the same thing with a missionary that kept going on over there. And he's still in jail because, and I don't think he ever went
John,
to town.
John Cao or C-A-O?
Co. And he went over there and he got caught too. And that's just the way it is. The way it is today. You got to be very careful. They will stop you and, throw your butt in jail and throw away the key and you'll never know what happened.
They torture you and try to re-educate you.
So when you're praying for these people, remember to pray for the one that is in some dark, dank jail cell, totally forgotten. Nobody knows where he's at, and he's there and alone. Pray for him, and pray that God would touch him, and let him know that someone cares, that there is hope. I've been doing that for many years, because I was prompted by the Spirit of God many years ago that there were those out there. And then all of a sudden I started getting all these stories, and I can tell you, they're out there. The good thing of it is no matter what the devil or society does to them, the Lord will never forsake them.
That's right.
And so it's good to have a report on that. And it was the Human Rights Commission of Malaysia. And they're the ones that announced that the Special Police Intelligence team was involved in the abduction. And so, you know, it took 2 years. So hopefully now someone will find out where he's at.
Oh, I hope so. I hope he's not been murdered.
Well, you know, the thing that came into play when I was researching, looking at this article, researching it, that's the fact that within a lot of these governments, and it's the same thing in America, it's the same thing you'll find in a lot of nations, is that you may have part of the government that wants to function on more of a free issue here, like don't bother him, let him go, there's a guarantee of religion, and you leave him alone. And there's others that are in power there that have a lot of power, and they get others to go out and do things illegally, and they're doing it, they think, to protect their society. And we see that a lot, where you have, instead of a government face here, that they all stick to one. And that's exactly what's the matter with Asia Bibi now. She's been, was convicted of death. She was found not guilty. It went before the Supreme Court of Pakistan twice, I think it was. And both of them.
I believe so.
And found that she was free, that she should be allowed to leave, and everything else. But guess what? She's sitting in house arrest, they say to protect her, and they won't let her go.
And she spent the best part of a decade on death row.
So we do have an update on this. But see, this is another thing. This is politics and government, just like we have here now. And you got Trump pulling one way, trying to protect the border. And you got the Democrats who have supported open borders around the world, and even under Obama they okayed money. But for Trump, because they hate him so much, they won't do it. And now, after this report, the stuff is starting to hit the fan, and now the Republicans, they've given some, they're recommending for persecution, prosecution anyway, to Barr, some people that were involved in the conspiracy against Trump.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, and Barr came out and was talking about a lot of the things, and he even admitted that Trump was spied on. The Democrats were furious when he said this. But see, this is what happens when you get these different things going in government, and this is the way we see it. Malaysia and a lot of other countries do the same thing. So you find yourself in between these two groups, and you're messed up, you're screwed, glued, and tattooed. And they throw you in jail and throw away the key and deny everything about you. And look at, you know, Asia Bibi. But I'll tell you who's fighting. The ACLJ is fighting in that regard. So at any rate, Tower, are you ready with your story?
Yeah, I'm going to. Do you want me to do Asia Bibi since we just talked about her?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I just said that she'd been sitting, she spent the best part of a decade on death row, and she's, like you said, still in house arrest. The British government is fighting, I think, among themselves. I don't know. But they're providing an update to British Parliament on Tuesday. Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt said they want to make sure that she is safe and has somewhere safe to go. And that's a top priority for this government, for the British government. And they came in under heavy criticism last year because Theresa May blocked Asia's asylum request because they were afraid of, the Muslims in Britain that would attack and cause a lot of problems, so they didn't want to let her come in. But now they're supposed to be in making progress and very hopeful that they will have a positive outcome. They're in talks with the Pakistani government. Excuse me. There's people that want her to be released immediately, but Pakistan does not want to do that because they're afraid that she will speak badly of them. They don't want to have any backlash from holding her. And her children are safe in Canada. They don't, you know, but they don't want to let her go because they're afraid she'll speak ill of her in the home country with the media. And there's no indication of when she'll be able to flee the country. I mean, you know, evade the clutches of the country. And even though the government says she can leave, the army has all the power in this case. So they're in control of her, and they're fearful of getting negative press if she speaks out about her experiences. But they will get an even worse press if she dies in protective custody. And she's being held in a safe house in the port city of Karachi. And she is reported to be very unwell with low blood pressure. And in addition, it is thought that the 55-year-old mother has been denied medical care while being held captive. So please remember to pray for her and her family as the battle forward in their fight for freedom.
We have covered Asiya for many, many years since it happened. And this is unconscionable.
It is, but the good thing is that it's very public and out there around the world, so the Pakistan government will keep her alive, hopefully.
Well, you know, that's hopefully, but the thing of it is they need to let her go.
They do.
And it was good to see that the UK was working at trying to get a release.
Finally.
Well, you know, that article should have said, too, that the reason that they didn't was because Theresa May felt that they had radical Muslims there and they would stir things up in the country.
Yeah.
In other words, they allowed the Muslims to have their way. But then a Muslim council there said that there's no reason why she can't come into the UK. That's what they said.
Yeah.
So they agreed. So then, you know, people ask May, well, if the Muslim council says they don't care and that they don't see any reason why she couldn't come, why in the world are you not allowing her to?
Yeah, and that Wilson Chaudhry, he's the head of the British Pakistani Christian Association. He said, it does seem to me that Britain is now a country that is unsafe for those who may be tarred with an allegation of blasphemy. We are very aware that there are extremist elements in this country.
Oh, there are.
Yeah.
A bunch of them went to fight as ISIS, and some of them wanted back. You know, and so, yeah, you need to pay attention.
That's true.
And, of course, in China, they continue to do their thing, the communists. Another prominent underground Chinese church has been shut. This has been a little bit now. Now, you know, President Xi Jinping, you know, he's been in power for quite a while, but it's really all the communists. I think they woke up to find out how many Christians there were. But the church has about 1,000 attendees weekly.
Wow.
But, of course, what they did, they went in there, and they told the pastor that he needed to sign a document that confirmed he had conducted activities as a social organization without registration, which is in violation of the regulations of religious affairs and regulations. He had to sign that. Which I don't think he did, but at any rate, those taking part in the Bible study were marched off to a local school where they were interrogated by officials, and the ones that were detained were asked to sign a letter of guarantee promising to immediately abandon this church and no longer be associated with its ministry, and every one of them refused.
Good for them.
And and they came out and they said that this church and its subsidiary organization should be shut down, and it is illegal, and its illegal possessions confiscated. And of course, they had another meeting place, and that was shuttered, and that's really pretty much what they've been doing. Shutting out, locking the doors, nobody can get in. And before, it actually happened before in 2011, the congregation refused to join up with an official state, as an official state-sanctioned church, and the pastor was placed under house arrest. And, well, at any rate, you know, this is what we see. But, you know, in the Chinese constitution, say they have a right to religious belief. Now see, there's really a sticky wicket in here, because you have right to a religious belief, but not the right to practice. You have a right in the form of it's according to the way that the government says you have a right. And if you are one of the state-sanctioned churches, you can no longer just preach what you want to preach, because all of the sermons, everything that he says, has to be pre-approved by the communist government.
And that's wicked.
Yeah, and so everything is controlled, and the one at the head is the Communist Party. Then comes your faith, which is adherent to the Communist Party first.
Good grief.
Yeah. And even official churches face increasing pressure to exalt the Communist Party over God. And that's according to ICC Regional Manager Gina Go, I believe, that, yeah. And of course, you know, we see more persecution of Christians in India, and India's constitution guarantees Christians' right to worship.
I know,
Pakistan
that
does
just
too.
Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, this is nothing new. They all say that.
Yeah.
It don't mean anything.
That's right. It doesn't. That's too bad.
But see, in America, our forefathers who came here because of persecution, and they put together the Constitution as a means to keep a nation that would honor that. But they're talking about Christianity when they came.
Yeah.
And so now today we've got a deist view, we've got an atheist view of religion, we got every kind of view you could think of. And so the real truth of the matter is that we've become a conglomeration, and which is fine. I'm not interested in making it a theocracy at all, but, you know, we're getting to the point to where we almost spit on the Bible, you know. A lot of them don't want to lay their hand on the Bible when they're making, when they're saying, "So help me God," you know, in a courtroom. And you're starting to get more people in public office that aren't Christian, and of course they become offended when you try to say a Christian prayer.
Yeah, but it's okay to pray a Muslim prayer.
Yeah, and we've seen this time and time again. And our roots are not in Islam.
That's exactly right. Obama tried to say they were.
Obama is full of peanuts, you know. And just because Thomas Jefferson had a Koran doesn't mean anything. Thomas Jefferson spent a lot of time overseas as well. And
he did.
He had a big library, and he would have had a library of everything. And, of course, Thomas Jefferson really isn't the one to really use as a key here, because Thomas Jefferson really had problems with a lot of the Christian churches as well. Because of what he said, he saw them mainly not walking in the path of the Bible, but being a little different. I wrote an article on that, if you remember, about Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah.
And so, at any rate, you know, this is the problem. And the problem of it is, you try to change this country into an anti-Christ nation, Christians are going to raise up. You know, I'm not going to live in another kind of country.
No, I don't want to live under Sharia law, that's for sure.
I won't live in a Muslim nation, a Sharia law nation, and I won't live in any of these other nations. Just won't. Ain't gonna. And, you know, I plant my flag here, and this is where I'm going to be. And, you know, that's all there is to it. And we stand up for these in other countries, and I can tell you that there is a lot of truth to the fact that we are the nation standing alone against globalism. I heard Glenn Beck today in a short thing, an excerpt from his daily program.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about, he was talking directly to Donald Trump. He says, it's time that we pinpointed the multimillionaires and others who are targeting America with these floods of illegals coming from, these immigrants coming from South America. He says, they're not just coming up.
That's right. You've said that all along.
And, well, that was in the news, too. I mean, you can find that there. When they first came up, they were linked to left-wing groups. There's a lot of money flowing in into some of these impoverished areas to get as many people to go. And in one report that I read, the women, this one woman said they just rounded us up and told us we had to go, or they would kill them.
That's horrible.
I mean, that was my understanding of the thing, because she came. She didn't stay. So at any rate, this is the problem we have in America. And we've got a lot of people, and I can tell you in America we've got them too. And there's a lot of Democrats, and Obama's a globalist. George Bush Senior and Junior were both globalists. Clinton was a globalist. Reagan, in his own way, was a globalist, but not like the way these others were. But we've been selling our corporations and our infrastructure down the road for decades now. We've been selling our Constitution. We've been selling everything. We've been whoring ourselves. And a lot of your companies today, including Walmart, how do you think China got so much money? I can tell you why. Because China makes just about everything in America in some of these cheap places. Entire chains have grown out of Chinese goods being made there. You've got billions of Chinese people making billions worth of goods. Walmart got rich off of it. China got rich off Walmart. And this is the way the situation is. Now, I'm telling you, you need to buy American. You need to buy companies here. You need to pay and invest in this country, or you're going to be living in a communist China. Amen to that, even if I got to say so myself.
Amen, that's true.
Well, at any rate, where are we at now? The flight of the ISIS fighter. Do you want to do that one now? Or do you want to wait a minute?
No, I can do it now.
Because we've got 48 minutes, this would be a good time to do it.
Okay. Excuse me. I like this story of this ISIS fighter. It's the flight of ISIS fighter into Jesus' arms. Shuhab grew up in a fanatically fundamentalist Muslim family who had been leaders in helping establish the Taliban in their native Afghanistan. They strongly believed the whole world should be ruled according to Islamic Sharia law, and anyone not following Sharia must die. And during the official reign of terror in Afghanistan in 1996 and 2001, the Taliban murdered thousands of people and destroyed countless churches and temples. When U.S.-led forces attacked Afghanistan in 2001, Shuaib was only 4 years old. Three of his brothers died in the assault, one of his older sisters went missing, and his mother died without getting proper treatment, not even a burial. Finally, his father fled the home with nothing but his youngest son, Shuaib, and little daughter Samira. She was 7 at the time. And they hadn't gotten far before being captured by armed forces in the military truck patrolling the streets. Shuab's dad felt sure they would be killed, but to his surprise, when the American soldiers saw the innocent youngsters, they actually helped the family escape. Driving them to a deserted area, they motioned for them to flee, and many difficult days later, the young family ended up in a Middle Eastern kingdom. The father eventually found work and labored long and hard to support his growing children. And whenever they thought about their deceased mother, murdered brothers, missing sisters, and other dead and missing relatives, their rage towards Christians grew. Like many Afghans, they believed Christians were behind the invasion. So at 17, Shuab joined up with the militant group and from there was recruited by ISIS. And he served as a faithful commander, but his father and sister never had any idea where he was. About a year and a half ago, the father died in a tragic accident. And as we reported in an earlier story, his sister, Samira, miraculously touched by the Lord Jesus about a year ago, accepted him as her personal savior and even joined the ministry of Bibles for Mideast. What we haven't reported in that 6 months ago, she married an LGA, an Assembly of the Living God pastor in the Middle East. While no one knew for certain whether Shuab was even alive, his sister, her new husband, and their whole church prayed fervently for his return and that he would also join the Christian fold. And several days ago, a surgical strike by an anti-terrorist squad completely destroyed the base where Shuab and his forces had set up operations. All died except Shuab, who was catapulted from the camp like a football. Even though injured, he managed to flee the devastation. The sounds of bomb blasts continued behind him, and as he ran, he could feel someone holding his hand, helping him run even faster. He also heard a voice from above. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," it declared. "No one can come to the Father without me." Shuab neither understood the words nor had any ideas where they came from. As morning dawned, exhausted and parched, Shuab had reached a village. He staggered to the door of a house and on the outskirts knocked. A young couple with two young boys by their side opened the door. Shuab asked for some water to drink. Inviting him inside, they gave him water as well as food and bandaged his wounds. They questioned him about where he'd come from, but Shuab, without the strength even to answer, fell asleep. It turned out the family were members of a local ALG church, so naturally they began praying for the sleeping stranger. But before they even prayed, they received biblical verses they knew applied to him. "I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, 'Here I am,' to a nation that was not called by my name." Isaiah 65:1. "Then a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice." Isaiah 42:3. As they prayed for the battered young man, they felt God tell them he was someone plucked straight from the fire by the Lord Jesus Christ. They got in touch with their pastor, who, with two other church members, came immediately. Since Shuab still slept when the pastors arrived, he talked the situation over with the couple. Meanwhile, their two youngsters took it upon themselves to wake the fellow up. "Shall we tell you a holy verse we know by heart?" a little voice queried. "Yes, groggy," Shuab replied. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," the older boy replied. "No one can come to the Father without me. In him was life, and the life was the light of men," the younger boy piped in. Stunned, Shuab realized he'd been hearing the same words the older boy just recited the whole previous night as he'd been running to safety. Seeing the visitor now awake, the others came over. Shuab asked them about the verse and explained his own experience with it. "Those are the words of Jesus Christ, our Savior," the pastor replied. At the name Jesus Christ, Shu'ab rose angrily. "Are you Christians?" he demanded. "Yes, we are Christians," the pastor replied politely. "Well, then, thank you for your hospitality, but I'm sorry. Christians have been my enemies since birth, so I am leaving." When he tried to leave, the pastor stopped him gently. "Brother, the Lord Jesus just saved your life from a great tragedy. Jesus is not an enemy, but a friend of everyone. He rescued you, was with you on your way, and brought you right here. You can go if you want, but please allow us to have a few words of prayer with you before you go. God brought you here for that reason, we believe." Annoyed, Shu'ab decided to do as they asked and sat back down. While the pastor prayed, Shu'ab again fell asleep. He dreamt Jesus blessed him with nail-pierced hands, while behind him stood a huge crowd of saintly-looking people. Multitudes of angels overshadowed the scene. Then among the saintly ones, he clearly saw the bright, smiling face of his sister, Samira, right on the front lines. "I am the way, I am the light of life, the Prince of Peace and eternal Savior," Jesus said to him. "I am the first and the last. Follow me and glorify the Heavenly Father." He then disappeared. Shu'ab suddenly opened his eyes wider than they'd ever been. "I believe in you, Lord Jesus," he exclaimed. Those standing around knew Jesus had visited him. Shu'ab then shared his whole story from the beginning. The pastor related his own testimony of how he had converted from Islam and then outlined the message of the gospel. Shu'ab readily accepted Christ as his personal Savior and Lord. And as the pastor listened to Shu'ab's story, he put the pieces together and realized he could be none other than Samira's brother. He knew Samira to be married to a fellow Bible from the Middle East pastor and living in another country. After discussing the situation with Pastor Paul, director of Bibles for Middle East, he contacted Samira's husband and told him the wonderful news. Within days, the former terrorist joined his sister and her husband at their church and was baptized there. We've also just learned that from Samira that at likely the same time as her brother met with Jesus in his dream, she had a vision of herself worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth alongside her long-lost brother. That's a really exciting story.
It is. And that just encourages you all the more.
Well, that's right.
And we've got to remember who we serve.
And God is still in the business of saving people and restoring them. He's a God of restoration and of life.
Well, he is.
Praise the Lord.
I wanted to do a couple of quick things. As regarding Iran, there was a petition out to urge President Trump to impose sanction on Iranian judges under the Global Magnitsky Act.
Good.
And that would allow them to take actions directly against the judges. Now, we did a story on one particular judge who was like a hanging judge.
Yeah.
And all the Christians went before him. They wound up in prison for a terribly long time. Life. It was terrible. And, of course, the outcome of another story was the Trump administration had declared the Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps a foreign terrorist organization.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's good.
And it made the news today. And, of course, the Ayatollah and the Revolutionary Guard and all of Iran is mad at him. But the
sure.
thing of it is, we know for a fact from the sources that the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, among others, the Iranian special police have been used to go after Christians in their groups. And they bring them before these judges, and these judges sentence them to long prison terms.
Yeah, that's unjust.
So anything of thinking that Iran is anything other than a country that wants to bring the world under the heel of Islamic rule, you're fooling yourself. These people treat Christians, and we can say unequivocally, the Christians in the world that are persecuted the most, you will find them in Sharia law states like Iran. You'll also find them in communist-run states like China. You'll find them in a state like North Korea. You will find them in a Hindu-run place like India, and etc., etc. this is what is happening in the world today, and the people in America better get their heads out of the nether region and understand that we are in the last days. The enemy is gathering his forces, and this is not the time for the Christian church to be carnal, to be separated, and to be unlinked. Wake up and seek the Lord on these matters.
Yes, amen.
And with that, we're going to have to get out of here.
Well, good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. God bless you. We love you. We pray for you. Pray for the persecuted brethren.
Shalom, everybody. Good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.